This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
For me, two reports on Saturday were pleasantly shocking. Both NFL Network and ESPN reported that it's not a sure thing that Jerry Jones will renegotiate and extend Dak Prescott's contract. Now, Dak cannot be franchise tagged. He also has a no-trade clause. So, Keyshawn, could this mean that Jerry will bite that bullet and let Dak play out the final year of his contract at a massive $59.5 million?
I think it would be foolish if they were to do such a thing, especially if you are all in, like you said, at the end of the season when you got bounced to the playoffs, that you're coming back all in.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are going to re-sign or try to extend, better yet, CeeDee Lamb and Michael Parsons, I would think that you would need some cap relief. To have a guy play on a $60 million cap number, which his base salary, I think, is close to $30 million. So it's a $30 million real number of cash, but a $60 million round up number to the salary cap. If you want that to happen, you probably are going to struggle to be able to sign players or retain your own players, extend players that are going to want money.
Yep.
CeeDee Lamb is not looking to go into 2024 in September playing in hopes of getting an extension after the season. And I'm sure Michael Parsons isn't either. Guys, one thing that they want the damn money, Skip. And they want it early. They don't want to have to wait. Yeah. So when you look at that, if the Cowboys are smart, they can restructure Dak Prescott's deal and get themselves about $18, $19 million of relief.
Sure.
By just doing a simple restructuring without extending.
Okay, but the downside is you're on the hook for three or four more years.
If you extend it, yes. But you could just simply take the $59-plus million dollars of cap space, restructure it, turn it into signing bonus. Mm-hmm. So now you're guaranteeing, you're already guaranteeing a 30. Now take and put whatever else on top of it, another 18. So you're basically giving him $48 million of real cash. Are you willing to do that?
Okay,
but if you let him walk next year, okay, after this season, you let him walk, your ass is going to be in trouble because you got to be able to replace him.
Yeah.
And if you replace him with a Trey Lance or Cooper Rush, or maybe there's somebody out there that I'm not thinking about in free agency 2025 that I'm not thinking about right now that you may be able to sign for less money, you're not going to get the same guy. On top of that, what Dallas Cowboy quarterback has ever left a building without finishing their career as a Dallas Cowboy? And I'm talking about the ones that we talk about, the Roger Staubachs of the world, the Troy Aikmans, the Romos. Those are the ones I'm talking about. And even though he hasn't won a championship, when you talk about quarterbacks of the Dallas Cowboys, his name is mentioned. As hard as it may feel to you, Skip, it's still mentioned with those guys.
Yeah,
that won championships. So I don't necessarily see Cowboys letting their guy walk out the building next season when this year is over with and he becomes an unrestricted free agent because they can't tag him. So he walks out the building. Are you willing to do that? After you groomed, drafted, brought him up, raised him, made him, turned him into what he is?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you do that for somebody else? That doesn't make a whole lot of damn sense.
Mm.
Why would you do it?
Okay, my turn. I'm on record as saying I have seen enough of Dak Prescott. All I know is my goals are higher than losing a playoff game, and winning the division and losing a playoff game. I have seen him three straight times in big playoff games home against San Francisco, at San Francisco, home against Green Bay, stink in all three games. Shockingly stink, where he just looked overmatched. He looked overwhelmed by the...
They all looked overwhelmed.
Okay, but in the second quarter against Green Bay, he threw two late first quarter, and then second quarter he throws a pick six, and
he
it's
did.
27-0 before halftime. I've never seen anything like it before. At some point, you have to reorder priorities and say, well, do we want to go win a Super Bowl, or do we just want to maybe steal the division? Do we want to win 12 games for three straight years? Because that's what they did, and they have zero to show for it, as you well know. If your goal is to get back to your first NFC championship game in 29 years, get back to your first Super Bowl in however many, 30-plus years. So I told you, I have seen enough, and I have seen the 49ers say, Jimmy G, that's not enough. He was up 20-10 mid-fourth quarter, and they just said, you know what? We can do this is a Super Bowl, 20-10 in the Super Bowl. And they just said, he's not good enough for us to achieve our goals. And they go out and spend three first-round picks and a third-round pick, I guess it was, to go get Trey Lance.
Yes.
And then...
How did that work out?
Okay. Well, we never know. We don't know how that worked out.
Because it didn't work out the way they wanted to, Skip,
because
they
somebody fell into their lap with the last pick in the draft. Named Brock Purdy. You want to talk about hitting the lottery? That has never happened.
So you're suggesting that the Dallas Cowboys should do what the 49ers did.
Absolutely.
Go find a dude at the bottom of the seventh round and pray.
You just go find somebody. You start over. You change your scenery. You change your luck. You start fresh with somebody else. And by the way, okay, two quick things about this past weekend. On Friday, Jerry did a big sit-down in the bus is up at the combine with all the reporters, and he raved about Dak Prescott. That's why this shocked me when this came out on Saturday. And he said, he said, the reason I'm all in is because we have Dak Prescott at quarterback. So he made Dak the reason that he's all in. And I'm like, that should be the last reason that you're all in. Dak and Mike McCarthy.
You're crazy.
No, I'm smart. And I know Dallas Cowboy history, and I lived through Don Meredith and Roger Staubach.
I forgot about
Troy Aikman. Yeah, you can go all the way back to him. And to your point, you made a good point. None of those guys finished elsewhere.
Did Danny White even finish elsewhere?
I don't remember it. Maybe he went somewhere, but I can't remember. But he got them to three straight NFC championship games, but they lost all three of them. But at least they were getting to the precipice.
I understand that part.
And in the end, he just wasn't quite Roger Staubach because whoever was – right? Like, okay. So the point is, Jerry is raving about Dak on that day, but he also raved about Trey Lance. He went way out of his way to say, we love what he's done so far. He's a great young man, which we already knew. He's a hard worker, which we already knew, because even the Shanahans always said he's a gym rat, man. I mean, he comes early, stays late, studies tape like nobody we've ever seen. Okay, gotcha on all that. But Jerry said his development with us has been shocking, that we love how quickly he's progressed.
Okay.
Okay, so you can bet on this.
You know Jerry's negotiating at this point, too, right?
Okay. Well, you can say, but sometimes he just
what
blurts.
Do you mean? What he do
just
you mean?
Blurts
I
out.
I can say that's what you do. You leave a little breadcrumbs. You kind of dangle some things out there for people
could
to
be.
See.
You could
you don't
be
think
right.
Dak Prescott is looking at that
right.
and going, he's talking about Trey Lance.
Yeah, okay, fine. But Dak has never done any favors for Jerry. He took no hometown discount because he knew he had Jerry way over
but
a barrel.
But you're not supposed to take a hometown discount in your first renegotiation on a major blockbuster deal.
You remember how long that went? It went 2 years.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm not taking... I'm on a fourth-round rookie contract making the max I probably made. I don't even know the numbers, but the max he probably made is $2.5 million, and that was at the end of it.
Yeah.
Then he got tagged to make more, and then obviously tagged to make more. Why would I give you a hometown discount on my first...
Okay.
Renegotiation.
Okay.
Now, this renegotiation, we can have a conversation.
Okay. If Jerry believes so deeply in Dak Prescott, why didn't he do it 2 years before he did it this last time?
Maybe at that point in time, he wasn't sure.
Yeah, he was
okay?
not sure.
Okay, because all of a sudden, You're looking at him. He's coming off an injury. You don't know what that ankle's going to be.
Nope.
You've got to dissect and pay attention to everything. You got to look at him out there. You got to get the information from the training staff. Will he be able? Dr. Cooper's got to be able to say he's going to 100% be Dak Prescott again. You can't just sign a guy.
So Skip. He waited and he waited
yes.
until the 11th hour, yeah. like bitterly.
So he spent a few yeah. more million dollars.
And he spent a whole lot more million dollars.
Yeah.
And he said at the press conference when they announced the deal that he took me to the cleaners. And he didn't. You could just tell. I know Jerry. And he did not love it because he lost that negotiation.
But that was his bet.
Mm-hmm.
His bet was yeah. I'm not going to pay him right now. I'm going to wait.
Going to wait.
And he waited and he had
stuck.
To pay more.
He just got stuck where he couldn't see a way out of it. And he said, I guess I have no choice.
But how can you see your way out of it when okay. he played up to his potential
yeah.
doing a contract negotiation just like he did this year?
Yeah.
He had a hell of a year, man. Mm-hmm. He has similar years that in the past as he had this year.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott did. So it's not as simple and easy as you want it to be, Skip, where you look at a Trey Lance, and I'm assuming that would be the guy that you would think is going to take over because the Shanahans traded up to get him, but yet and still they moved on from him like that.
Because somebody fell out of the sky into their
they didn't
laps,
know, but
or
they
he
did,
would still be the quarterback.
But they didn't know that that somebody who fell out of the sky mm-hmm. into the laps would turn in to a guy to take them to the Super Bowl.
No,
they had no idea.
They would have taken him in the bottom of the first round.
They was blanking bricks
mm-hmm.
when Trey Lance got hurt. Don't you ever think for 1 minute they sat there and said to themselves, damn, I can't believe that this dude just got hurt again and we going with a Mr. Irrelevant. They mm-hmm. didn't sit there and go, good, Trey Lance got hurt. Go on, Brock Purdy, take us to the Super Bowl.
Kyle swears and the owner said,
yeah, York they also
says,
swore that yeah. Steve Wilkes had a contract and alluded yeah. to the fact that he would be back.
But, I mean, stop. Kyle said in training camp, after, like, the first day of training camp, he's saying, you know who the best quarterback on the field was? It's that Mr. Irrelevant guy. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Easy to say. All right. I'm with you. But here's the point. I am cool with Jerry Jones saying, I will bite this bullet, and let's just see what happens. And it's going to hamper your ability to extend or start over with, obviously, give Micah and CD their money.
Well, you got Dak, DeMarcus Lawrence, CD Lamb, Zach Martin, then Micah Ferguson and Bland, all those contracts coming
up.
You
got a bunch coming up.
By 2026.
Yeah. And
so you
got
to address it.
Okay, the cap went up fairly significantly.
Yes,
and as you always remind me,
whatever.
The biggest cap wizards in football have been Jerry and Stephen Jones
yeah.
and their staff.
And they
I don't
know how to
they
kick
do
the
it.
Can down the road.
Okay, all right. So they're going to kick Dak's can down the road, I think, for just one more year and take that hit of the $60 million cap.
Yeah, I don't know what their plans are about who they want to sign and who they want to go out and get, all those things. But I can almost guarantee you, if he plays on a $60 million
cap hit,
the Dallas Cowboys will finish last in the damn division. I can almost guarantee
you
that.
Why? You think he won't? He'll get less than his best?
Here's what's going to happen. Is CeeDee Lamb is going to stomp up and down because they won't be able to give him what he's looking for.
Somebody will get their money, but maybe all of them.
But you got to give every. You cannot.
You're going to have to prioritize.
You cannot look at 3-4 all-pro type guys that you have that's looking for contract extensions and money. We want our damn money, Skip.
Sure.
We don't care about nothing else you're talking about because you're going to get your money. You already got your money on ticket sales and TV rights and all that. We want our money as players.
Sure.
And if you decide that you're not going to pay me, guess what happens now? Now, all of a sudden, as a player, guess what they start to do? Well, I ain't coming to mini camp. I ain't coming to training camp. I don't want to be here for the regular season camp. I'm not. Now you creating a problem within okay. your structure in your locker room.
What if you just go in chronological order and you take CD first and you just do this deal?
So
go ahead and give him his money.
So now you got Micah.
Okay.
And then you'll have DeMarcus Lawrence.
And you tell Micah, we will get you.
No, I don't want to hear anything about
okay.
telling me anything.
Yeah.
I want my damn money.
Okay, but you don't have to do that right
it
now.
Does, you don't have to do anything. But I'm only making, I don't know what he's making exactly, but I think it's $4.5 million, whatever
yeah.
that number is.
Now, what was he, the 12th pick? Or yeah.
Yeah, something yeah. like that. Whatever yeah. that number is, mm-hmm. I'm going to give you, just because I don't have it in my head, I'm going to give him a $4 million number. And if I'm giving him a $4 million number, and I'm looking at my my contemporaries and they're making $30 million, what do you want me? You want me to play for four? When that dude over there making 30 and I'm the leader of your defense?
Yep.
You really want me to do that? You don't want me to do that.
You just tell him we will take care of you when this is over, when this year is over.
So his cap, Micah's cap hit is about $5 million. So you want me to say and do nothing, though, and get no money and take a risk and a chance of not securing my bag for you?
Well,
doesn't work like that, Skip.
We're going to talk about what just happened in Tampa in a little bit. And I know we're talking about a 30-year-old Mike Evans, but Tampa got away with it because they told Mike Evans, no, we're not going to do this during the year.
What did you just say?
And they just went ahead and did it.
What did you just say before you said that, though, Skip?
He's 30 years old.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
Mike ain't no damn 30.
No.
So you don't play that, right? I believe Patrick Mahomes this year played on a $36 million cap number. That's the highest of anybody this year in the National Football League. I believe it was 36. Could be slightly up or down.
Wasn't Aaron's up there?
No, I don't think Aaron's was quite that high. Aaron's was a lot less. But they was able to do everything they needed to do.
Well, he took effectively a hometown discount to sign a long-term deal.
Well, that, however,
it's
his
not
deal
top of
is
the market.
Structured.
Yeah.
It's structured where it is at the top of the market, but his structure is so weird. It's like a lot of different stuff in there that keeps him where he needs to be. And he's satisfied with that. I said it to you before. The first time around, I'm not taking a discount, Skip. I'll take a discount the second time around, not the first time around, because I need to make sure that my money is where it needs to be. Now, if you go to me and you say, hey, instead of this $58 million a year that I need to give you, let's just do the deal the same way it is now and extend. Okay, I may think about that. I may say I'll give you a little sliver on the side.
Okay. Well, maybe Jerry needs to call Dax Bluff and see if he really does want to go someplace else. Just play it out. Just
you
one year. Let's see what you got.
You can't
show
play
me.
On a $60 million.
Show me you can play in the postseason in ways you've never shown me
before. The cap is $255.
Mm-hmm.
$60 million on that. That's what percentage, Skip? That's a, 25, 30% of a salary cap?
Yeah.
You're like getting ready to kill your team. If that's, so you want Jerry to do that?
I don't want to see the team get killed for the 3 or 4 more years.
But you won't 3 or 4 more years because you're extending it out. You're lessening the hit.
You have to pay the piper at some point. It's pay me now or pay me later. This is a pay me now way out of this.
Okay.
Because you did it.
Okay.
You did it.
If you want to pay your way out of it, then move on from me.
Yeah.
Well, and find out.
But I kind of like the idea of
show
me
all over again.
Show me once. You know, show me what you got. And by the way,
he showed you when they gave him the money the first time around.
And
you asked him to do that. Now you're going to treat him unfairly again?
Yeah.
And ask him to do it again?
Well, he's treated us unfairly in those last three playoff losses.
So it's all him.
Yeah, well, a lot of it is starts with the quarterback ends with the quarterback.
It's all him. The offensive line is not protecting him.
Yeah.
The receivers are running bad routes. The running back is not getting to the hole. The defense is giving up the goods. Although he threw a pick six against Green Bay, that's only 7. They got 27.
As you have said before.
What happened to the other 20?
As you've said several times before, there's just something missing in Dak Prescott.
Yeah, there was something missing in him. Yeah. But he's shown that he could bounce back multiple times in different ways.
Yeah. What'd CD's mom say? I still take that to the bank. He ain't it.
I can't listen to people's family.
Yeah.
I can't listen to people's family and friends talk about what a player is out of frustration.
She might be the only smart one in this whole bunch. CD's mom, right? So you just let him play it out. And then, by the way, guess who's going to get to play a whole lot of preseason football this coming July and August? Trey Lance.
Throwing to me and you. He's going to be throwing to me and you. That's really going to be a great evaluation.
He needs reps.
That's going to be a real great evaluation, throwing to a dude that's going to be cut in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, stop, Skip. He's not playing with the frontline guys. Is he going to play with the frontline guys? Is he going to play with the CeeDee Lambs?
He'll get a half of that.
Oh, he'll get a half of that. You think he honestly get a half of CeeDee Lamb in there?
Yeah,
why?
What do you mean,
because they want to protect their star quarterback. That's why.
Yeah.
From getting hurt.
Yeah.
Because without him, you don't have an opportunity and a chance.
Yeah.
That's why.
Okay. We'll see. But I like this. This was music to my ears. Way to go, Jerry. You're seeing the light now.
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place, whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this: crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right. Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew. Ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids. Just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
After LeBron passed 40,000 points on Saturday night, he reflected on what it felt like coming into the NBA 21 years ago. He said, "That expectation on an 18-year-old kid, that was insane to just think about it. I wish that on no kid in no sport to have this type of pressure put on them. And everybody wanted to see you fail. Besides my family, my friends, my city, everybody wanted to see me fail." Keyshawn, agree or disagree with this quote?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I hear what you just read by family, friends, my city, things of that nature. I don't necessarily know at 18 years old if everybody... he was living it as him, but I don't remember at 18 people saying they want to see him fail or he's not good or he's not this or why. I don't remember it because he was like... He came in as one of... He came in probably as top 25 player in the NBA at 18 years old.
I agree.
I don't know.
Yep.
Now, maybe he misspoke, and it's his words. Maybe he really meant they wanted to see me fail when I left to go to Miami, which then I can say is very true.
Oh, yeah.
Leaving Cleveland to go to Miami, I saw people wanting to see him fall flat on his face.
Well, they burned his jersey.
Yeah, but I'm just talking about just overall the NBA, not just the Cleveland Cavs fans.
Yeah.
I'm talking about overall. It was almost like overnight the switch turned on LeBron James because he made a decision about his career. He took it in his own hands and didn't let others make the decision for him. He said, "Hey, I'm going to do it the way I want to do it, and I'm going to go play in Miami." And I applaud that, where other people was kind of like, "Why would he have a press conference announcing and do that?" Well, that's what he wanted to do. What did you want him to do? You want him to walk up there and wear a suit on the podium and say, "Well, I decided I'm signing with Miami Heat and Pat Riley and hold a jersey"? That's not the way he wanted to do it.
Yeah.
So I applaud him for the way that he wanted to do it. But here's what I would say. I don't think he was thinking too much when he talked about pressure of a kid going into the NBA. Well, LeBron, homie, your son, man.
Mm.
You know, that's gonna be a lot of pressure. That may even be more pressure, okay, on his son and Bronny having an opportunity to go to the NBA than it was LeBron James. Because Bronny is following LeBron. Okay, that's a hard act to follow.
And obviously, Bronny doesn't have LeBron's talent.
But he doesn't.
Yeah.
And that's why the pressure mounts.
It does.
Because
people try to tear
the kid down as it is now. Okay, dissecting where he's getting drafted. If he's capable of doing this, the only way he's going to get drafted is manipulation from Clutch and LeBron to get him drafted. All that is pressure to be LeBron James' son. Because LeBron James' dad ain't LeBron James, right? And LeBron James was 18 when he got into the NBA. Bronny a little bit older, but he carries the name James on the back. His father has set the foundation, right, of everything. So you talk about young, forget the age. I'm just talking about young and attached to somebody. A walk around like Bronny James with that type of pressure to do anything remotely close to what your father has done, oh, that's pressure. That's a lot of pressure. I mean, that truly is, because anything he does, it'll never be right. He can average 20 points a game in the NBA, and everybody will be like, well, he ain't his daddy. You know, it's just no matter what the case is or it's going to be, the only reason why you're here is because of your daddy. The only reason why you're there is because your daddy.
Yeah,
the only reason why you're because your daddy. That's a lot of pressure to have to live up to. And that part, I would not wish on anyone.
Okay. I got you. Okay. I know it sounded good, but I think LeBron was just changing the early narrative from his career on Saturday night. And it came off as poignant and emotional, like everybody wanted to see me fail. I can just tell you, I lived through this.
But he probably heard, like I said, Skip, okay, I didn't hear it. Maybe he heard the whispers.
I don't know.
Maybe he heard the whispers.
I just want to remind you and everybody else how LeBron came into the league. There was that famous or infamous Sports Illustrated cover calling him the Chosen One. Well, why did they use that? Because he had already had Chosen One tattooed across his back. Okay, so he already announced, I am the Chosen One to the world. And then he immediately chose to wear number 23. And at that point, even more than now, 23 was the number worn by Michael Jeffrey Jordan in Chicago.
If you're any good,
okay,
you want 23,
all
man.
Right.
Come
but
on,
he
now.
He went one more step. He quickly, immediately adopted the pregame ritual made famous by Michael Jeffrey Jordan in Chicago, which was the powder toss. LeBron started doing it from day one.
I see many people in the NBA do the powder toss.
Okay, but he did it from day one. And I'm like, LeBron, be careful, man. Be careful what you wish for. Because he's saying,
everybody did that, though. Not just Michael.
That's not true.
It's so
true. He was known for it.
We made him known for it, but many people did it.
Okay, but
Kobe did it.
Okay, but LeBron was announcing from day one, game one, I got next, I have arrived.
Okay.
And that's fine. And guess what?
I said he
lived
was
up to it.
He a top 25 player coming into the NBA.
No, he did. But
it might have been higher than that. He might have been higher than that.
That was audacious. That was brazen, and that was a little dangerous because you're inflicting a lot of pressure on yourself.
But guess what?
Okay.
That pressure didn't burst the pipe.
No, it
at
didn't.
At all.
Because he went.
Dude's still playing 21 years in.
I got it. And he went to Sacramento in game one and scored 25 points.
Fresh out of high school.
He's 18. He's not 19 out of Duke or wherever. You know, he's 18 out of St. Vincent, St. Mary. Okay, I give you all the above. But the point was, I didn't get the feeling that the world wanted to see him fail. Maybe he created a little resentment over the Chosen One and the powder toss and 23.
Resentment from who?
From Jordan fans. The league was owned by Michael Jordan at that point.
No, Mike wasn't playing.
But he was way more of the GOAT then.
Kobe at that point.
No, I know. But again, people, he was even more revered then than he is today because it was fresher. It was closer to when he was still playing, right? Okay, so you're asking for it, and you lived up to it. But don't tell me that the world wanted to see you fail because the world was on the edge of its seat to see how great he was going to be because we got to watch
him.
I got to watch him twice on television in high school.
I saw him in person
at that
school.
Point was a huge thing. Okay, where did you see him in person?
I saw him down in Ohio in person. Yes, absolutely. Saw him play in Dayton, Ohio. Well, my teammates.
Oh, okay.
I've been knowing LeBron since LeBron was in high school.
Okay,
you know?
There you go.
So I don't know what people say to him privately. I don't know what he witnessed at some of his games or when he was at the draft. I have no idea. But if the man felt and feel like there were people out that wanted to see him fail because, much like you said, the Chosen One or whatever the powder or whatever the case is, the fact that he had a Hummer and he was driving it and all, that may be the case. And he feel that way. If he felt that way, I'm okay with that. I'm okay if he felt that people were out to see him fail.
Right away, the media loved LeBron James. And it starts with the media.
I thought they did.
They did.
I thought they did.
And it got to the point for me that I can make the case that LeBron over time became as protected a superstar as we've ever seen before. Because the media widely loved him and supported him and propped him up at every failure. When he had the epic fail in the 2011 finals, it's like, next, it got swept under the carpet. So I don't get the world wanted to see me fail.
I don't know if it was when he, that's what I said, I don't know if he really meant when he was 18 years old. He might have meant when he was leaving Cleveland to go to Miami.
I'm
going to say that's what he meant. I'm going to say he really meant Cleveland to Miami.
I don't. It didn't.
Because it's hard for me to think.
He was referring to 18.
It's hard for me to think that being drafted as the number one overall pick in down the street from your home city is that people wanted to see you fail. It's hard for me to believe.
No, it was like a storybook story. It was like a fairy tale.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I think he probably was talking with some emotion after the game, and he probably didn't really mean to say 18. I'm going to give him that. I'm going to go on the limb and say he wasn't talking about when he was young.
Okay.
He was talking about Cleveland to Miami, which everybody that had an issue with the way he handled his situation probably did want to see him fail.
Okay.
Because people like you keep bringing up the disaster against the Dallas Mavericks.
Okay.
And what was the little guy's name, the guard that he had a hard time, J.J. Barea, had a hard time posting him up. So guys like you, you point
like
to that failure and say, look.
By the way, guys like me, I think I was the only one who stood up and applauded LeBron for going to Miami, even though I was told that the day after the decision, I could have been elected mayor in Cleveland, Ohio. Maybe I could have been. But the point was, I had no problem with the decision, except the way they did it.
Because it was the decision.
Yeah, the decision. Remember?
Yeah.
With Jim Gray, okay. Well, it was fine. It's just part of the culture. It's how you do those things.
Okay.
You make it.
Well,
it was an event, man.
I'm glad that you.
No, I was pro.
I'm glad that you.
The only thing
said that on record
because
that
he's always
okay with it.
So great with what he says, what he chooses to say. But he had gotten so crossways, so sideways with Dan Gilbert, the owner in Cleveland, that he paid no respect to the fans of Cleveland when he made his announcement.
Okay, he was young.
You could have prefaced by saying, hey, the people of Cleveland, I tell you, I love you and I'll always love you.
Yeah.
And by the way, we didn't know this at that point, but he came full circle and came back around and won them a championship.
Yeah,
okay?
But when somebody's attacking you.
Yeah.
Via letter or whatever the case
was. Dan Gilbert went public with the fact that he thought LeBron quit
in that
last series in Cleveland against Boston.
So your focus is on Dan Gilbert and maybe not the fans, but he's also 25 years old or whatever it was at the time. I mean, he's young.
Yeah, he's right in there.
Yeah, he's a young dude. He didn't have a lot of scars that he had to go through in the NBA in terms of dealing with situations like that, where if he did that now, he would know how to handle it totally different.
Yeah, because if he just with a line or two expressed some gratitude to Cleveland fans for having my back and supporting me all these years that we've been here, and he did not do that because he was so angry at Dan Gilbert, he couldn't give him.
His focus was Dan Gilbert.
It was Dan Gilbert, and now his focus was on Dwayne and Bosh and Pat Riley.
Absolutely.
And so he's taken his talents to South Beach, as you recall.
That pressure, though, that LeBron is talking about, though, Skip, I would second that and say that pressure's on his son.
It is. I agree with you about that.
He had the pressure. I get it. Every time you picked at a certain level, at number one overall, whatever, no matter the sport, you're going to have pressure.
Sure.
There's going to be stress. There's going to be people that say you deserve it. There's going to be people that say you don't. You're going to have detractors. That's just the way it is.
Watch what happens if Caleb does go first overall to the Bears. Watch what happens.
There's
going to be an outcry against him.
It's going to be an outcry against him. It is. There's going to be people in Chicago that like him and people in Chicago that don't like him.
Yep.
People in Washington, if they move up to get him, they like him and don't like him. But Bronny James, out of anybody, in my opinion, in terms of pressure, and then the next guy coming with pressure, is going to be Tiger Woods, son. That's going to be pressure, too.
Well, you saw what happened to Tiger's kid the other day. He tried to qualify for a pro tournament, and it was a disaster.
Yeah, but you see what I'm saying?
You just used
the word disaster.
Well, it was terrifying.
No, I understand that.
I was horrified for the kid.
Yeah, but you used the word disaster. When you have greats like this, one-on-ones, to follow that and do the same things, to wear the same numbers, to look a certain way, to wear the red sweaters, that's just what it is, where Michael Jordan kids didn't have that type of pressure because they didn't play basketball in the spotlight like that.
Yeah.
They were his kids.
That's true.
But there was no, It wasn't like that,
no.
You know? But when you come with that Arch Manning, he'll have the same pressure, even though he's not Eli or Peyton.
No.
He carries the same last name in a quarterback family. Now he's at Texas. Everybody wants to see what
point.
He really is.
Very good point.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
According to his agent, Mike Evans has re-signed with the Bucs. 2 years, $52 million, including $35 million guaranteed. Keyshawn, what is your reaction?
I'm excited for Mike, considering that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers during the season, this past season, wasn't really interested in looking at an extension for Mike Evans. We all thought, hey, he would wind up going into free agency and somebody would get a bargain for a player of this caliber. But what it certainly does is it signals to me that there's strong interest in retaining their quarterback in Baker Mayfield. Because you don't sign Mike Evans if you don't plan on signing Baker Mayfield. And you don't let Mike Evans leave in free agency and think it's okay to sign Baker Mayfield back without Mike Evans as his primary receiver. That would be stupid on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers' part. So this is a good sign for Buccaneers' offense and a good sign for Baker Mayfield. Now, what Baker Mayfield has to do is to be smart now, Skip. Don't start looking at the biggest contract and leave money, you know, and worrying about all those sort of things because your situation in Tampa is prime for you. Even though Dave Canellis has left and gone on to the Carolina Panthers, that's okay. You got chemistry with the receiver. Don't start looking at the Atlanta Falcons and thinking because they may be some interest that you all of a sudden want to go to Atlanta. Don't start looking at the New England Patriots because there may be interest that you start and go to Atlanta because they're going to pay you more money. At some point in Baker Mayfield's career, I want him to get as much money as possible, but he may have to leave a little bit of money on the table for the sake of his career. Because if he goes to the wrong spot, messing around in New England and Atlanta, people that don't really know him, at least Todd Bowles, some of the offensive staff, they know his strengths and his weaknesses. He has a rapport with the receivers. It's a perfect situation for him down in Tampa. But this certainly signals, hey, we want our quarterback back because look what we just did. We signed our star receiver.
So I am very surprised by this re-signing of Mike Evans, but I'm once again underestimating the character of Mike Evans because you treat a lot of diva receivers the way they treated him last year. They stonewalled him and said, no way. You play it out and then we'll talk about it. And a lot of people just wouldn't be able to swallow the pride and go right back and say, okay, I'll take your deal. A lot of people would say, I got to see what's out there.
Well,
because
he's smart enough, though, Skip, to know it's the best situation for him.
Okay, but I have seen one story after another. Oh, what Kansas City could do with Mike Evans. Oh, what Baltimore could do with Mike Evans. Name somebody what they could do with Mike Evans.
Yeah, but are they willing to give Mike Evans $52 million with $35 of a guarantee?
I don't know. Maybe somebody would have. I think he has been almost criminally underrated through his career because he doesn't make waves. He doesn't make splashes. He just plays and plays and plays. And
has
as
he
you
been
know,
underrated, though?
Yeah, boy, I think so. Maybe not by you because you're smart. You get
but
it.
But why would he be underrated?
Because he doesn't draw a lot of attention to himself. He doesn't do a lot of interviews. When he does talk, he's great. But he's kind of matter of fact and...
Yeah, I don't think he's
underrated. There's no rough edge to him. There's no controversy.
I think the people that know football, they know that he's a player.
Does he celebrate after he scores? No, he doesn't
not
do
really,
anything.
No, but that's okay. That's all commercial.
Yeah.
That's all for television and for media. But as far as a player goes, he's one of the top receivers in the league and has been that way his entire career.
I thought last year he was as good as he ever was. He made so many big plays for Baker Mayfield to the point he made Baker Mayfield. When in doubt, Baker can throw it up to him and great things are going to happen because he can still run for his height. What is he, 6'5"?
Yeah, he's tall.
6'5". He's, what, an inch taller than
he's
probably?
Really, he's really,
really
tall.
Really tall. And he can move. And he can run all the routes. He can run the deep ones, and he can run the short ones, and he can go over the middle, and he'll take the hits, and he'll jump right back up, and he doesn't complain. He didn't complain about his deal. He made it clear he wasn't happy about it, but who would be happy? Because he thought he had earned the right to be paid going into last year.
I think at 30 years old, they start to look at you a little bit different.
Sure.
So they wanted to hold off to see if there would be any slippage. So they kind of wanted him to get through the season, showcase, because a lot of he's missed some time in Tampa because of his hamstrings and different injuries and things of that nature. They wanted him to show. Now you got a quarterback that has played well with him that you want to sign back.
Yeah.
So you got to get that part of it done.
Gotta get it
and
done.
Now you move on to the quarterback to get him done.
Okay. I agree with every word you spoke about Baker Mayfield. I'm a big fan. I was before he got drafted. I said he should go first overall, and he did. I can't defend what happened at the end in Cleveland or really from the beginning in Carolina. But last year, he was very good, and they did throttle Philadelphia in that playoff game 32-9, and he played great in that playoff game. I'm told by people inside that organization they're going to do everything in their power to re-sign him. And I'm with you. It's made for him. He connected with not just Mike, but that team enjoyed playing for him, rallying around him. And they got a real good chance, once again, to win that division, I would think.
Yeah,
all right?
Yeah, the division. You got New Orleans, Carolina. Yeah.
Okay. But there's a swing team. It's the Atlanta Falcons. You and I both agree, because we've been talking about Justin Fields winding up with the Atlanta Falcons. Their weaponry is sensational.
Yeah, they got good weapons. They got good ones.
Starting with Bijan, and obviously now you go to Kyle Pitts and Drake London. And they got weapons.
I mean, he could go there, Skip. The problem is I don't know anybody there on the team, on the coaching staff in particular.
He doesn't know anybody.
That he has a relationship with.
Unless Raheem from that short stay with the Rams. Remember when he...
Yeah, but that was real short.
It was pretty short.
A couple
remember
weeks.
Remember he got
that
in
a couple weeks.
A night before that Thursday night game, and then he lit up the Raiders, remember, with the walk-off touchdown? So does he have some feel for Raheem? Sure, he has
some. Yeah, but I've been with a team all year versus a team for a couple weeks.
Plus...
And I got receivers that I have a rapport with that I can just get back into the lab with. I mean, there's people on the offensive staff that's still in Tampa that know him, that know him very well.
Yeah, I hate it that Canales left, but obviously got a head coaching job in Carolina, maybe because he was the only one who would take the head coaching job in Carolina, but he got it, and he's a good guy, and I'm happy for him, but Baker will miss that. That was a good connection. But he had a great connection with the Tampa Bay fandom. It just it felt good. It felt like he found a home. So I'm with you. I hope that happens. But I will not be at all surprised if, depending on how the Justin Fields thing plays out, because you have to trade for Justin Fields. Baker's on the market.
Yeah, but it makes only sense to leave Tampa Bay if there's an offer that just blows you away that you just can't say no to.
Yeah.
But I don't know that there'll be an offer that will blow him away where he can't say no, where Tampa can't get close enough to it, right? I would think that Tampa signing Mike Evans certainly signals they're going to sign Baker Mayfield back and give him what he
I'm
deserves.
I'm with you, but will Arthur Blank say a signing would give me 2-for-1? If I overpay for Baker Mayfield, I get him away from our division rival, and all of a sudden we're the kingpin?
But what's it worth to you as a player? Is it worth to you as a player when you got your career on the right track to all of a sudden possibly derail your situation again for a few extra bucks?
Yeah.
Because in the end, if they give me, I don't know, I'm just throwing numbers out there.
Yeah.
If it's 170 and 150, you say, well, that's $20 million different, Key.
Yeah.
Well, is it worth it? Opposed to, because everything you can buy with 150, you can buy with 170.
I agree.
So,
and it's not like he was a seventh round draft pick, because he was the first overall pick. And remember, he made boatloads of money doing progressive commercials.
It can't be necessarily about money in this situation for him.
Yeah.
It's got to be about smart, right fit, right decision. That's what it's got to be about. Because what will happen is if things go wrong on another stop, people will say,
Yeah.
This dude was never taking this serious to begin. You know how it goes. They'll start criticizing.
I'm with you.
For once.
Stay, Baker, stay.